Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'm back to a Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dyke, and today I'm joined by Kevin McCluskey. We are here, of course, to cover the Celtic versus Hearts game. Things are getting serious, Kevin McCluskey, and the teams are out. Let's run through the teams, and then we'll talk through our thoughts. Celtic lineup as follows: Joe Hart in goals, with Alistair Johnston, Greg Taylor, and Cameron Carter-Vickers and Liam Scales at the back. Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly, and Rio Atati make up the midfield three, with Kyogo, Kuhn and Forrest up top. On the bench for Celtic, Louis Palma, Adam Ida. We've got Yang, Novroski, Iwata, Bernardo, Bain. 201 games, unused sub today. Dyson Maeda and Anthony Ralston. That's the Celtic lineup. We'll start off with that one. Kevin, what was your thoughts when you seen that announced about an hour ago or so?
I was very happy when I saw that, Paul, yeah. It's a really strong team. It is, I think, right now the strongest team we've got. But we're going into the final five games of the season, four games of the season, whatever it is. They're all must-win matches. So you go into it with your strongest available 11 every week. And I was going to say, hope that they can do the job, but trust in them that they can do the job. And I think that's what we've got today. Really strong side out there. Everyone you'd want to see starting, I think, is starting. And we've got a few wrongs to right from the last couple of games against Hearts. So hopefully this is the team that can go out and do it this afternoon.
Right. I am keen to get as many people involved in the discussion as possible. Here's some things that we might want to talk about. Obviously, the starting 11 is out. Are you surprised? Are you happy that James Forrest is in there? Alongside Cameron Carter-Vickers, we have Liam Scales, who has just signed a four-year deal. What's your thoughts on that? I think I've been pretty vocal on the socials and on the Axiom shows around Liam Scales as well. And then in the midfield, I heard a lot of people going on about the performance levels of McGregor, and maybe even on a secondary level, Rio Atati, and how they need to be improved. But my view on that, we'll start off with the midfield, Kev. My view on that is that they simply needed the games. I'm expecting today to be that moment where they're up to match speed, they're up to match fitness, they're sharp enough, and I would expect a normal performance from McGregor, because we've not really got that. We've not got a performance of the normal standard we would expect of Callum McGregor, have we, since he came back?
No. Yeah, he's probably been quite a disappointment, to be fair, since he's come back, because he hasn't hit the highs of what we know that he can achieve in terms of his performance and consistency level. But I think we've probably got to expect that from time to time his form will drop naturally. We've had to maybe bring him back ahead of schedule. I'm not sure if he is or not, but maybe we have, because we're coming into these final games. It's important to get your captain on the park. I don't think Iwata had done much wrong to merit coming out, but if you've got Callum McGregor in your squad and he's telling you that he's fit to play, and you've assessed him and you think he is at a level where he can play and get through an hour of a game, I think you, 9 times out of 10, you take the risk and you play him because he's such an influential figure when he's on the park.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've probably taken these few games to do that, to bed him back in, rather than waiting until now when he might be 100% fit, throwing him back in and demanding, you know, a proper Callum McGregor performance from him. He's had that few games to get back up to speed, and I'm sure it will come for him. You know, he's a quality player. You don't lose what he's got overnight or just because of one injury. It just might take him a little longer than we've been wanting for him to get to form, but I'm sure it will hit. And it's the same with Rio. We knew that from before. Anytime he's had a spell at the team with injury in the last couple of seasons, it's taken him a few games to get back up to fitness and get back in the groove. But, excuse me, even when he's not 100% match fitness or whatever, he's one player that when he gets the ball, he just thinks something's going to happen. And even against Dundee last weekend, I mean, I think Forrest's second goal, there's a bit of luck in it because it's terrible defending. But it's Atati who's picking the pass to play it through. You know, he's done that a few times. He's the one that plays that adventurous pass. Even if he's not 100% fit, he's still got it up in the mind. He still knows the passes he wants to play. And yeah, we need him in the team as well. And like you say, the same with Callum. They've not been there quite 100% just yet, but you know it will come. It will come soon. And today is as good a day as any for them both just to click in. And, you know, if it doesn't, Iwata's on the bench, Bernardo's on the bench, there are options there. I don't think it's time to panic about playing those two. I don't think the form in the last few weeks has been any reason to cause for panic. I think they've just been slowly getting themselves back up to fitness.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this week and then next week, where we absolutely need them to be firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, because I think we're now in a world, really, Kev, whereby any thought process goes out the window. As soon as someone has any kind of thought, it's out there. It's out there in a public forum, like social media, on streams like this, such as this. I think that it's necessary for these guys to play, particularly Callum, to play parts of games to get up to that point. It was quite clear to me that both of them were struggling against Dundee near the end of their involvement. It was so important to get Hatate 95 minutes in his legs. There was a moment where he was chasing back defensively, and it was like he was running backwards. But he was doing it because it's these moments, isn't it, that you're actually putting that in the bank. That's going to benefit you today. It's going to benefit you next week against whoever we're playing then. And Callum McGregor's the same. I think that every single game that we go into, he knows he's playing, let's say, 60 minutes, Kev, right? And it's about working and trying to build up that sharpness. He's been nowhere near the standard. But now, the minute you see a 30-year-old not playing to his peak, I'm seeing things on social media saying he's done. And you think, come on, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just part of a process that we've seen so many times in the past with players coming back. And the thing with Callum is he's such a pivotal member of the side. He's a heartbeat of the team. So the minute he's not at the peak of his powers, it's noticeable as well, Kev. I fully expect today for both of those guys to be right back to their best. And like you say, with Rio, if he's on the park, something can happen. If he's on the park, he can change the game. He's a playmaker. He's a creator of chances. He can play a ball through the eye of a needle, unlike anyone else on the park. He's that type of player, and it's important, I think, to get all these games in the tank, and I think they've done that. Now, hopefully, we will see them back to their best. Now, thank you, everybody, who is supporting us on Instagram. Keen Dip, Jim Crockwell, Sinead Mac 21, Ryan Gal, 1994, and GJS 1981, all getting involved on the old gram. Now, get your thoughts in here. What's your thoughts on Scalesy getting a four-year deal? What's your thoughts on the fact that despite the lacklustre performances in the midfield, we stick with it? And what's your thoughts on James A. Forrest starting the second game in a row, which is unusual for him these days? Chloe Kay, welcome to the show. You are on the YouTube. Bring the atmosphere today, Celts. You play for us and we'll sing for you. Yeah, absolutely. Full house. And the season ticket renewals are out. And I'm pretty sure the vast majority of season ticket holders will be renewing, even though it's been a disappointing season, Kev. George Kidd, come on the Axon Celts. Thanks for tuning in, George. And Danny Boy, owe you a big apology, PJ. At least you admitted it, Danny. Most don't. During the week, I said that no Celtic player was good enough for the EPL. I watched the Luton Everton game and all our players are better than that. Right. Just this morning, actually, Kev, and I've said this so many times on the show, I have nothing against any region of football. I'm just so immersed in the world of Celtic that I don't have the time to focus on the English game, the Spanish game, the German game, the Italian game. In the past, I have. I was a big, like a lot of us, Kev, of our age group. We were into Italian football when Channel 4 got on the bandwagon. And then, of course, the EPL, the launch and the rise of the EPL, I was all over it. But now I just focus on Celtic. For my sins, I watch Scottish football, not English football. But I was asking a question this morning because you are aware of what's happening. You don't have to follow it intimately to know what's going on. And I know that at the moment, Ange seems to be getting a bit of flack. And I was trying to determine, have they had a bad season? What did they expect? Who's giving them the flack? Is it the fans? Is it the media? So I had a wee look at the league table and I thought, wait a minute, they're having a decent season. Spurs sitting fifth. They could possibly still finish in the Champions League places, can they not? Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments section. But what I noticed is from probably ninth position down, I don't see anything that excites me in that league. And it's no disrespect, but I'm not going to tune in to Luton versus Bournemouth or Brentford versus Everton or Sheffield United versus another. I'm just not doing it, Kev. I think it has been, honestly, it's been created. This perception of that league has been created rather than earned, and it's been created through broadcasting money. We are in a situation here where Celtic, through a number of different means, have got to a situation now where a lot of fans don't think we should be in a title fight because over a period of 30 years, and let's remember it's only really been 30 years that we have been financially astute. Prior to that, we were run by a board that were not fit for purpose, which is why they were ousted, Kev. But in that 30 years, we've built a really strong backbone financially, the stadium, the facilities, all that kind of thing is, you know, it's hard to argue with, isn't it? But we feel, a lot of us feel, that today we're going into this game against Hearts. Squeaky bum time. If you're sitting here at half-time, Kev, and it's nothing each again, which has happened quite a few times this season, and that we should not be in this position. I agree with that. I absolutely agree with it. But in that position we are, and we just need to really deal with it, Kev. And that's why I think Stephen Welsh has been given a new deal this year. That's why I think Liam Scales was given a new deal yesterday. This is where we are right now, and we need to keep that squad together. And we go into the summer, and it's at that point that I think we improve on personnel, and we improve the team, and we improve our chances of progressing.
Yeah, I mean, we can sit here just now and talk about the position that we're in this season and how we shouldn't be here, how we really should be streets ahead of everyone else because we do have such a big financial advantage over every other club in the country. But the fact of the matter is, like you say, we are in this position. We are in a title race. We're there because we haven't been good enough so far this season to make sure that we're not in one, to make sure that we've got the League One. And that's just how it is, you know. For the rest of this season, yeah, you'll get behind the team. You'll give them all the support that they need, especially in games like this, because at the end of it, we haven't been great. We should have been a lot better this season than we have been. But we're still, was it two wins, one draw away from winning this league title? I mean, we've got it within our hands. We've got it within our grasp. So absolutely, we should just be focusing on, for right now, it's the here and now. Everything else is just noise. We just need to focus on the here and now, get through the next few games and hopefully get this league wrapped up. And then, as you say, we need to then, after that, I think, look at the bigger picture and try and avoid another season like this. It's not, I don't think anyway, this is like entitled talk or any way like that. I think this is realism. When you look at the advantages that we've had over the past decade in terms of, like you said, the finances, getting into European competitions, but squandering opportunities to advance. We're in a title race because we brought it upon ourselves. But there's always a hope that maybe next summer is the one where it changes. I do hear that there's talk of some changes behind the scenes at the club, maybe in the boardroom level, or Brendan getting his own men into kind of positions of authority or influence within the club. So you've got to have a wee bit of faith and confidence that that's that's the driver that we need to get us back to the standards that we want to set for ourselves. And there was actually a video that I saw that you posted or reposted this morning on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who the original was from, but it's the one of Fergus McCann giving the speech outside the stadium when we've just had the club, when he's just brought the club back over and brought it back into the fans. And he mentioned something about the standards that he wants to set for the club being the same as those of the fans. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to get back to, because I think for too long we've fallen below those standards. And there's nothing wrong with having high standards. We need to get back to having that Fergus McCann mentality where we absolutely want to be the best. And it's not just being the best in Scotland. We want to be the best that we can be in a European front as well, where we can actually compete and make inroads into those competitions. So, yeah, let's look forward to these next few games. Let's give the team the support they need. Let's embrace the title race, as Jim Orr says often. Mm-hmm. And then once it's done, let's refocus and make next season an absolutely top season for the club.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And I think that the reason I'm bringing it up, Kev, is that I think the minute that Liam Scales' new deal was announced, there was so many people saying that that showed the ambition levels of the football club. And my take on this is not necessarily. I think that a football squad, the squad that we've got at the moment, right, Liam Scales is in a position in the football team that's almost an anomaly, and it's through a number of circumstances that he's played 40 games. This will be his 41st game of the campaign. In an ideal world, Liam Scales is your backup to one of the centre-halves of the three that we brought to the club, right? And in Liam Scales' time, we've actually brought even more than three centre-halves to the club, because we've also brought Kobayashi to the club whilst Liam Scales has been here. One of the guys should have been the player, Kev, that matched Cameron Carter-Vickers as his partner, but it didn't. And that's why Liam Scales is in the team. Not just that, because when he was put into the position of getting game time, he stepped up. He stepped up to the plate. Cannot be denied. Man of the match performance against Rangers. Man of the match performance in the Champions League. We can't forget that. There are flaws to his game. I'm critical of the fact that he does not, for me, command his area at that back post well enough. And that's a joint responsibility between him and Greg Taylor. And we're weak there. Every team in the league knows it, right? Aberdeen have targeted it. Dundee have targeted it. Many other teams have targeted that. And that's a weakness in his game. Another weakness is he dilly-dallies on the ball, takes far too much time to transition from defence to attack. You know, and by the time he's went on his 40-yard Ayer gallop, but at half the pace, the opposition team have regrouped and it's hard to find the pass. And often you go backwards and everything has just been slowed down, Kev. So, yeah, there are definitely weaknesses in his game. But I want to get to a point where Liam Scales is your backup. So if you look at the squad at the moment, right?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Who's Liam Scales' backup? Are you happy with it? No. It's either Navroski or Lagerberg. And these guys haven't played enough, or when they've played, you know, they've not impressed the manager, or when they've trained, they've not impressed the manager, or perhaps a mentality isn't right to play and start the games for Celtic. Brendan Rodgers has seen them every single day on the training pitch. He's decided that Scales is better than the pair of them more often than not. I mean, when he's been fit, he's played. And when he's played in 90 minutes, Kev, Liam Scales, right? So at the moment, the squad's not right because the backups aren't good enough. If we fast forward to the summer, we bring in that rock of a centre-half that can you know, partner Cameron Carter-Vickers and win a ball in the air at the back post, and Liam Scales is your understudy, and Stephen Welsh is Cameron Carter-Vickers, he's understudy, and Ralston is the same with Johnston at right back, and Taylor's the same with a new left back, then what you're starting to see there is a squad actually with a purpose. You know, it's not just like Liam Scales was, you're it, you're the only one there, you're it, because that's what happened with him, and that's why he got the game. You know, we even brought in Nat Phillips at great expense, and he couldn't play that game against Rangers. You know, the emergency backup was injured. Same thing happened a couple of seasons ago. This should not happen with Celtic, but it does. It happened with the right-back position as well. We were in a situation when Ange Postecoglou came to the club, we did not have any other options than Anthony Ralston and Leo Connor at Tranmere. Somebody corrected me and told me Tranmere are in the fourth tier English football. I thought they were in the third tier. So that was the options. And Ange went with Tony, and Tony, for me, proved that he was worth a squad place at Celtic. So Scalesy. And that's what I think we've done there. We've secured these services. He's a 26-year-old international footballer. He deserves that contract. But that's not to say he's going to be playing number five next season, Kev.
Yeah, I think that last point is the one that's the most important. You know, it doesn't guarantee that he's the number one centre-back for next season. So I'll be honest, when I saw the news yesterday, I was a bit disappointed that he's been given such a long length of contract. I think 4 years seems to be a bit excessive, given the limitations that he has to his game. But that was my concern, the length of the contract. I think it's the right thing to tie somebody like Scales down to the club for another couple of seasons and guarantee that we have him. Not as a first choice. We wouldn't have him as a first choice next season. But he deserves to be the first choice this season. As you say, when we needed a centre-back to come in and play, by default, it fell on Liam Scales. But he said the rest of the season to be taken out of the team, there's a reason why he hasn't, and it's because he has been very consistent. So yeah, we'll talk about his deficiencies. He is poor at the times at defending that ball to the back post, and teams have caught on to that. But he's not the only one. Taylor can help him out as well and hasn't been doing that. Hart can come and claim some of those balls. He's not the only one at fault there. Yeah, he's not always the best at striding out with the ball at his feet. But again, does he get the option for a shorter pass? Not always. There's other players that can dig him out at times to help his deficiencies. But overall, and I think in the big games and when it's mattered, when we've gone to Ibrox twice, he's defended very, very well. He's done the absolute basic job of a defender, and he's done it very well. He's a player I think we can rely on. And yeah, I would love to see us go and sign a proper centre-back to play alongside Carter-Vickers next season. And if we could do that, and then you had Scales as a backup, I think that would give you a lot more confidence than Stephen Welsh at the moment. I don't think he's a great backup for us. He's certainly a lot better than Kobayashi. And he's a better option right now than Navrodsky and Lagerbilk, because there must be reasons why they're not playing, you know. So he's there on merit. I think this season will be Liam Scales' season as a first-team player for us. I don't see him being that regular next season, but he's got that ability to be the next Tony Ralston, who's just that reliable deputy that you know will come in, do you a job for 90 minutes, and will be low maintenance to have around the dressing room, which I think for a club like us is hugely important, because we probably cannot afford to run with a squad of 22 players where you've got two players for each position that are like of the same level and guaranteed starter, or you know, will be pushing for starting places. To have guys like a Scales and a Ralston is huge for us. And I think he will have a big future to play, but maybe not as a first team regular.
I think that's a good point, the one you made at the end there, Kev, with regards to having, you know, the best case scenario is having two right back. Let's say Johnston and Juranovic, right? We were in a position for a while where we had Johnston and Juranovic, both international players, both players who want to play every single game because their international careers are important to them as well, Kev. It's difficult to manage. That situation is difficult to manage. And if you've got that level, brilliant. You're going to have a great, much better team. But it's going to be a very difficult situation to manage. And I think that your turnover of players would increase because one of them inevitably will push for a move. Then you've got that unhappiness. Here's another thing I want to point out about Scalesy. He's been in transfer talks since November with the club. So there's been an uncertainty hanging over Liam Skiles' future. Now, he's a human being like we all are. It does affect him, Kev. And if people think he's gone off the boil, and I know that maybe the counter-argument to that is if there's things missing for the game, it doesn't matter if he's tuned in or not. If he's gone off the boil, that may have contributed to his form. I'm hoping to see today Liam Skiles on the back of that weight being lifted off his shoulders, having a cracking game at the back. I'm hoping to see Callum McGregor and Mio Tati back to full sharpness, and therefore the standards are raised again. You've got Matt O'Reilly getting the boost. He's been nominated as the Player of the Year in Scottish football. Shows why you've been nominated. You've got Brendan Rodgers, Manager of the Month, with his backroom team of about 1,000 getting the photograph taken, which I thought was sensational. It was just peak Brendan.
Peak Brendan.
Love it. Who are we up against? We're up against Stephen Naismith's Hearts, who will be playing a 3-5-2 today, and their team is as follows: Clark, Lambakiza, Cochran, decent player Cochran, Rolls, Kent, Kingsley, Devlin, Grant, Shankland, Vargas, and Beningame. On the bench, Craig Gordon, Oda, Atkinson, Forrest, James's brother, Mackay, Sibbick, Denham, Fraser, and Tagawa. But as I said before, I do rate Cochran highly. I know he was a player who was involved in the Yang sending off at Tynecastle earlier in the season. Shankland speaks for himself. He's had a phenomenal record. Is he the first Hearts player to score 20 goals in a season since John Robertson or something? Unbelievable performance. And I think Devlin is a pest. Devlin's one of the guys you don't like playing against at times. He's like Scrappy Doo in the old Scooby-Doo comics and magazines and cartoons. That's Devlin for you. So it's not going to be easy, Kev. And I think that Stephen Naismith and Hearts are always up for it when they play Celtic. Not so much when they play Rangers, but when they come to Celtic Park, they fancy their chances. What's your thoughts in the comments section? Martin Horgan, aye, Stevie, right enough, but do you really want them running your football club? I don't know why I brought that up, actually. I've lost my train of thought, Martin. Let me know. Scales is too slow in thought and action, says Raymond Ogg. And Jungle Lion for the summer. I think this is a name that you've already mentioned, Sam Smodic at Blackburn, Republic of Ireland International. He's got a name that could have Hungarian blood in there somewhere along the lines, Kev.
He does somewhere, I think, a grandfather, something like that. He's definitely got some Hungarian heritage, but they never looked at him. And he's a player that James has definitely recommended through the blogs a few times. Good goal scoring record this season, but by all accounts, we'd get priced out of a move for him.
What happens is a player like him, all they need is one big season, don't they? And they get that big season because he's not like a kid at Blackburn, you know.
He's 26, 27, I think, so he's been around the block a wee bit.
So somebody will chuck 10, 12, 14 million at that without blinking down south, and Celtic won't entertain that kind of price range. Keimatsu, Hearts will not be pushovers. Those predicting 3-0 and over are kidding themselves. My prediction for today, Keimatsu, is 4-0 Celtic. Stephen Kennedy, let's start back in Liam Skiles. Ewan Boy Martin, great to see you, Ewan. Every player we sign this summer must be starters, better than we have now. No project players. 100%. If you've got a remit, that's it, going into this summer. And normally, in a summer period, Kev, there could be maybe one player or two players that you think, all right, I know why we brought them in. They're for development. We might loan them out. They might get a few chances here and there, and they might surprise you. We can't afford that this summer, can we?
No, we've got a bloated squad as it is. So if we're doing that, if we're signing anyone that's a project-type player, we need to be shifting out quite a few players as well to make room for them, because I don't think there's space in the squad at the moment. We've got a good team. Like, as much as the season hasn't gone the way we've wanted it to go, we've got a good team. Now we've got to go and improve that and make it a better team. We don't do that by signing the likes of Yang or Odenholm, as good as I think they could potentially become. They're not going to make us better in the immediate future, which is what we need. So we did that last season. I think we basically signed 9 project players in the summer. Cannot afford to do that. This should be 3 or 4 players that we go and sign, spend good money on them, make sure they are top players that will come straight into that team and elevate across the team. Sign a left-back that's going to help push Greg Taylor and develop his game. Sign a centre-back. Sign a midfielder that's going to give us that power that we need in the midfield and get us another attacking option that's going to actually give us real threat in the wings, perhaps. But four players that are going to absolutely benefit and then improve the team, that's what we need. So Ewan's 100% correct. And maybe we should get him into the director of football role or something like that and actually talk about ascents at that level of the club.
I'll talk to him about that on the 17th when we're in Dunoon. For sure.
You do that.
Brian Clements, Clement, or is it Clement, Brian? Or Clements. We'll call you Clements. Big game today. But if we play the way we can, they can't stop us. I'm all over that. I totally agree with you. I think in terms of personnel, we have the better team. But note of caution, I think we had the better team when we got beat from Hearts at home in December. JP Mason read the team out. It's basically the team that we're looking at today, other than on the wing we had Mikey Johnston and in midfield we had David Turnbull. So, yeah, in theory, on paper, we do have the better team. But we've got to turn up. Stephen Winning, enjoy this weekend, boys and girls. This is where you taste success and also smell their failure. The reason I brought that up is because you win the game today, the pressure ramps up on your challengers. Graceful Shambles, that sounds like a band. Graceful Shambles, like a Graceful Dead tribute band. On way to Celtic Park, by any means necessary today, troops, hail, hail to you. Graceful Shambles, and is it a band? If so, what is your part in that band? Do you shake a maraca? Are you a singer? Who knows? Kevin Graham's in a band called the Celtic Cross Collective. Chrissy S10, what time does the podcast start? We always kick off half an hour before kickoff, unless it's a big game like next week against Rangers. We'll probably be an hour before, and cup finals, etc. We'll go an hour before kickoff, but half an hour on normal league and cup games. We've got Lackwinder Pal, or Paul. Hail, hail. We should have too much for Hearts. We come out flying, it will be goals galore. We win the Celtic way with style and swagger. We've not seen enough of that this season. So hopefully we will win today with style and swagger. Kevin, we're fans, so we can bring a bit of needle to this because of the previous results. They've beaten us twice this season. Does that enter the head of Brian Rodgers? Don't know who that is. Brendan Rodgers and the team. Is there a bit of needle? Is there a bit of revenge in that dressing room today?
I don't think there is. No, I think there is in the fans, for sure. Like, I want revenge on them. I want to go and right those wrongs of those last two games that we played against them. But I think Brendan's too calm. He's too cool for that to let it kind of cloud him in any way. I think he'll just be getting the players ready for this game as he would for any big match. It's just about going out and winning the game. For him, maybe after the game, you can talk about, you know, a bit of revenge in the previous matches. But in the lead up, I think for him, it will just be, let's get the players focused in the game at hand, go out and get the 3 points, and then, you know, see what unfolds after that.
This should be our call at about this time every single match day. The urban culture has inspired me here. Get Glenn Daly on because it's time for kickoff. Join us at half time. The Urban Culture and everybody else, where Kevin and I will be talking about the first 45. Hopefully, it's some of that free-flowing football you spoke about earlier on. Thank you, every single one of you, for getting involved. Let's join the action. Last thing for me to say, thank you, Kevin McCluskey, for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Nice one. Cheers, Paul.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.